Let's look here, Revelation chapter number 9, and begin in some area that this is a little different we're going to look at today. Verse number 1 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." We're going to stop our reading there this morning. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In chapter 8, verse 13, it said that there are three woes yet to come. We also know that there are five trumpets yet to sound. And as we actually discover, these last five, or trumpet 5 and 6 and 7, are those three woes upon the earth. And those three woes really reveal a difference in the type of judgment to be seen. Up to this point, we find that the judgments were really against the physical world, though men died. But we find basically it was the elements of this world that were being disturbed tremendously. But these woes are directed at mankind in particular. And we also find they come from the unseen world. Interesting as we look here now into these last three trumpets. Satan and his host, like all angelic beings, were created by God to be ministering spirits, particularly to men. We find that in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, verse 14, says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So as they were created in the beginning, it seems as though they were created for a specific purpose, and that was to be ministering spirits. Satan, however, we find, was not content with his position. Matter of fact, Satan had what looks like to be the most exalted position in all of creation. And as a result of that position, he was the cherub that covereth. When we look at the cherubs around the throne of God, we find that there are four of them now. But he is described in Ezekiel as the cherub that covereth. And when you really look at that in Ezekiel, it seems as though he was very ornate, very beautiful, and was in essence a living musical instrument. And he was there, of course, as with the others, to bring praise unto God. But we find something that took place in the heart of Satan. Turn back with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. We just get an idea here. I'm sure that most of you know, but let's be reminded. Book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And it talks about in verse number 12, the falling of Satan. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." I'm thankful for verse 15. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms?" Here we have a view of what took place as Satan sought to or seeks to exalt himself above God. We find it in his fall. Excuse me, I got one of these nasty little coughs. We find that evidently approximately one-third of the angels fell with him. If you look back to chapter 12 of the book of Revelation for a moment, and here I believe speaking directly of him, it says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nations." Of course, we see that as the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7 and 8, notice it says, "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and who? His angels." It seems to be that the stars it refers to here in verse number 4 are the other angels that were cast down with Satan. And so we look at that and we believe that in his rebellion against God, there was approximately a third of the angelic host that went with him. Here's a little side thought for you. What is it about man today that makes him believe that he is God? Consider this morning, one of the big things that we have a problem with in our society is a thing called the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution is man saying that we came really out of the earth, we have evolved, and we are at the top of the line, we are our own gods, though we were created by God the Father. What do we think of when we think of that? We think that perhaps Satan is the author of evolution. Satan, it seems as though, forgot who created him and believes that somehow he can overpower the Lord. We find that all of them were cast to the earth. You say, why the earth? Well, he had rebelled against the ministry of service to mankind and believing he was greater. And perhaps God allowed him then to be cast to the earth that he might test man to see if he would rebel against God. I go to the story of Job, and what did God allow Satan to do? To test him. And certainly he did his best to do exactly that. Perhaps his hatred of man is that the angels are set in number. Perhaps what he thought, I'm just giving some conjecture here, perhaps what he thought was that, if we somehow can get man on our side, they're procreative, they can multiply, and somehow we can overtake God, especially if we inhabited them. And yet he has failed to do that time after time after time. And so what do we find here? We find in these last two trumpets that God seems to allow now these mighty armies of Satan to come forth. We're going to find two groups of them. Perhaps it's one group, but it's, I believe it's probably two groups that have been bound in two different places. And as he allows these to come forth, they are going to come forth and wreak havoc upon mankind. But God uses Satan, even though Satan believes that he's somehow going to be in control. Man is that way, are we not? Men believe somehow they're going to overcome what God is saying. They don't want to believe Him. They don't want to look to Him or anything. And so we see this taking place. So the first seal opens, And we find that this angel sounds. And we notice it says, I saw a star fall from heaven. Three chapters later, it talks about stars and being fallen angels. We also look in the book of Luke, and the Lord Jesus said this concerning Satan. He says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This star perhaps could be none other than Satan himself that is falling or fallen from heaven. Actually, the term there in the Greek is a past tense. And the term, by the way, in the book of Luke, when he says mighty as lightning fall from heaven, it's in the past tense as well. And what is interesting, too, is he fell from heaven, but God still allowed him access to the throne. And there he is, not our advocate, but our adversary, and the one who is seeking to constantly accuse us before the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Who has the keys of death and hell? Anybody know? Amen. Chapter 1, verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ does. And so here it says, I saw him fall from heaven. To him was given the key. Jesus has the key in chapter 1, verse 18. It seems like here he has given this key to this star that's fallen from heaven. I believe it is Satan. And he goes down to unlock then in this abyss, this horrible group of fallen angels. Notice verse number 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun, excuse me, and the air were darkened by reason of the pit. Interesting statement. The pit, the abyss. When we think of hell, we always think of it as down. I believe it's in the center of the earth. Think about this for a moment. It's called the bottomless pit. Where would there be, we think of it physically, where would there be a place there is no bottom? In the middle. In the center of the earth, in the core. There's no bottom there. And it is, let me find me a sip of water. When you have a throat that has been itchy, I better keep this right here. We find that center, there's no bottom. There's top all the way around. And so it's rightly named the bottomless pit. And yet we find that when he opened that, there is somewhere a shaft that allows all the smoke to come forth from this place. And it comes forth, it says, out of this great furnace, and the air, it says, was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Perhaps a shaft that is there that we've not ever discovered that will be opened up. And great quantities of smoke will ascend and surround the earth as a result of the unlocking of this horrible abyss. Now notice verse number 3. What else comes out of there? Verse 3 says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and of them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. So here are some locust-like creatures. We're going to notice that these are more than locusts, as we find a description of them. They well may be the angels of Jude chapter or verse number 6. In Jude 6 it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of that great day. So in this place of eternal darkness, this place of the bottomless pit, this great abyss, this place that's called the bottomless pit, we find that these creatures come forth. And I believe that they are the fallen angels. They are the demons, if you please. Now I want to share with you something that some people believe. And it very well may be. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Don't think me cuckoo on this. Some of you think I'm cuckoo anyways. In chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born of them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bare children to them that became what? Mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." Some unusually large people were born as a result of these sons of God meeting with the daughters of men. In the Old Testament, the term sons of God nearly always meant angels. And some believe that what took place is that Satan developed the idea that if he could impregnate women with these angelic beings, that somehow there would be this mighty race and that they would be able to take over and defeat God. Now, that is a good conjecture, and you put together with some other verses, it may well be. What I do know is this. I do know that there are those angels which were locked up evidently from this time. The antediluvian world, the world before the flood, was a very, very wicked world in which Satan ran rampant. And we find that there were those in Jude verse 6 that were locked up. I believe that they are these fallen angels, these demons that come forth as locusts upon the earth and bring horrible, horrible things to the people there. Notice verse number 4. It says, "It was commanded them that they should not," what? "Hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." Locusts do what? They hurt the green things. These locusts are unusual. And these locusts, they are forbidden to do so. Matter of fact, we find in verse number 4 that, in the last part of there, they can hurt anything except those who are sealed by God. When we go back, we remember what? There was 144,000 that were sealed. They have power to inflict pain upon the rest of the world. Now notice verse 5. "To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Now here's a period of 150 days, 5 months, or 125, I guess I should say. I can't even count. And here's this period of time that they are given that they can go out and torment men harshly. How badly? It looks like to the point that men want to commit suicide. But even if they slice their wrists, they cannot seem to die. Even if they take poison, they cannot seem to die. Because it tells us here that death shall flee from them. This is a time of horrible, horrible affliction upon mankind. And all men, but 144,000, will suffer as a result of it. Verse 7. Where's Kenny at? Here's some scriptures for you to look at and do me a drawing of this. This would be interesting. See what your mind comes up with. In verse number, he's an artist. By the way, he draws while he's listening. Somebody's saying, well, he's not paying attention. Some people pay attention better when they can do something. Did you know that? If he's looking at me, he's probably sleeping. Are you sleeping right now? Oh, okay. All right. Anyways, by the way, just time out for just a moment. Last night, Teresa was telling me, I mentioned little Dante from time to time. He can be a handful. And one of the things that's working right now is she has him in class time taking notes. And so whatever she's saying, he's taking notes. She says, I'm astounded at the notes that he takes and how much he's retaining. But he has to be busy, otherwise he's causing a problem. You can't put him in the back of the class because then he feels like he's pulled out of the group and not a part of it, and he disrupts. And so it's a little thing that she found that right now is helping. So everybody's a little different in their listening. By the way, if you're going, I don't think you're listening. That is not one of the listening traits. Well, let's look here. It says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle. Does this mean they're much larger than a regular locust? And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Interesting creatures. They had hair as the hair of women. Well, I've seen a few creatures like this. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Wow. We look at these unusual creatures called locusts, shaped like horses prepared to battle. They had a face as a man, hair as a woman, breastplates of iron. They were virtually impregnable. I'm sure that mankind is going to try to kill them off. Now I want to stop and I want to give you a little scenario. We live in an unusual age. And the age we live in, things have changed dramatically in the last few years. It used to be, if you watched a movie, it was perhaps a Western, a love story. And once in a while, you'd find a sci-fi movie. Today, we find that there are some very unusual movies out there. I don't watch them, but I see trailers from time to time. You can't help it if you happen to be watching something on television. And we have some of the most unusual monster films today. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I think perhaps we're getting set up. And there is some idea here that when these things come forth, man's not going to be, especially our young people, is not going to be greatly surprised by these creatures. And perhaps, even though they are hurting everyone, perhaps mankind tries to figure out how to kill them off. How to do battle with them. And so forth. I don't know, but it's interesting and intriguing in my mind as I stop and think about that. And only in our time has this kind of a thing come forth. And by the way, it's in most all of our cultures, this kind of thought. Much of it coming out of the Eastern nations, by the way. The Japanese are very prolific at these kinds of monster-type drawings and books and so forth. Notice in verse number 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. These have a king that is very picturesque of Satan himself. I've always thought this to be Satan, though I'm not so certain. If Satan be the star that falls from heaven and unlocks this, this is one that is evidently in the pit with them, but yet he is certainly like him. And we find that his name is interesting. Abaddon and Apollyon. Those two names, Hebrew and Greek, mean destroyer. One thing we always notice from Satan and all of his hosts is they're not creative, they are destructive. They don't bring things into being, they take things out. They are very destructive in all that they do. And of course, we see that in this fifth angel as he sounds and this bottomless pit being opened up. What a horrific sight this must have been as men were tormented these 5 months. Horrible, horrible time. Well, I don't know if there's a reprieve, but I notice verse 13 says in the sixth angel, verse 12, let me see that one just to get us back on the track here. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So we notice these trumpets are these woes. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. The altar in the tabernacle had on it horns. Those horns were specifically for the purpose of holding the meat or the animals that would be slain and placed thereon and burnt. There were times that men for safety would run and grab hold of the horns of the altar. But on this occasion we find that there's a voice that comes forth from the four horns of the golden altar. This place where there was a perpetual fire of judgment, where the priest would constantly have fire burning, where the priest every day, at least twice a day, would place a lamb upon this altar to be burnt. And this voice is announcing judgment. Now notice what he says in verse number 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. While ago we find it was the bottomless pit, now we find four angels in the river Euphrates. That's interesting. Anybody know where the Euphrates River is at? Iraq, somebody said. Yes. What famous city was on the Euphrates River? In Old Testament. Babylon. What is considered to be the seat of all false religions when we look to the Word of God, and we'll see that later in the book of the Revelation? Babylon. And here's a city that, by the way, in the days of Nimrod, as they built the great tower, and that tower, as most believe, was a tower that was probably representative of astrology and all these different cults that didn't seek to see God but see the creation that God has made and to try to tell future through it and so forth and worship it. And God did what? God judged it heavily. And we find that it was from Babel came forth all the different nations because God confounded their language. I cannot prove it. I do not know. But I'm thinking perhaps those angels which were responsible for taking mankind in this direction, because they are, demons do have what? Persuasive power in the minds of people that God bound them. He sent loose them that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Verse number 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. This time it's not to torment, but what? Slay men. Now look at the time frame there. An hour, a day, a month, and a year. A little over 13 months, God allows these angels, and as we notice in verse 16, their armies to bring tremendous bloodshed to the peoples of this world. The number of their army in verse 16 of horsemen were 200,000. That is 200 million, as he heard, it says here, the number of them. And so here's this great host. Perhaps these are angels. I don't believe these are actual armies upon the earth, though it's possible some interpret it that way. Because of what I see in the next verses, I don't think it was human. But they come forth and they have the power to slay. Now, notice what it says in verse 17, and I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jackmuth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Unusual creatures that come forth. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Horrible, horrible results of these coming upon the world. In 1 year's time, a little over 1 year's time, one third of the population of the world is killed. This is what's left after the seals have broken to this point, the trumpets have sounded to this point, and one third more die. In today's population figures, this could be somewhere around 1 to 2 billion people. I mean, can you imagine how horrible this time is going to be? Where did I leave off reading? Let me take you to verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents. Here's another one, Kenny. Not like scorpions, but like serpents, and had heads. And with them they do hurt. So we find trumpets 5 sounds, and men are tormented for 5 months. Trumpet 6 sounds, and men are killed for a period of little over 13 months. But here's the amazing thing. By and large, men don't turn to God. Notice verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet what? Repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Did they change their minds? No. They did not. Perhaps somehow they were able to believe that they had overcome these evil forces. I don't know. But they don't turn to God. God uses His goodness to bring us to Himself. When that don't work, God brings judgment to bring us to Himself. But we find that much of the world will not turn to Him, even in seeing His horrific power displayed. Now notice verse number 21. Neither repented there of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Four things that are very much a part of their lives. What do we find today? You cannot turn on a newscast, and we already see this kind of thing, do we not? Day after day, we find there's another murder that's taken place in our cities. We find that men have risen up against men. And I, let me put a little place in here. You might not like this. Guns are not the problem. People are the problem. If they didn't have guns, they'll use knives. It's just there. it's because mankind is wicked. So we find murders, sorceries. Interesting word. It comes from the word in the Greek language from which we get our word pharmacy. It's talking about a drug culture. Sorceries, drug culture. By the way, the drug culture goes hand in hand with the sorceress crowd. As we've seen the drug use rise in America, we have seen what? The occult rise as well. But they're not going to repent of that. Nor of their fornication. We understand that one. Huge, huge, huge problem in our nations. Nor of their thefts. You know, right now, in America, one out of every three of us will have something stolen this year. And in many cases, it'd be something quite large, as a car, but other articles. And this thing is going to get even worse. But what happens? Even though God has brought tremendous judgment, we find that they will not repent. Men hate God and will not repent. In spite of all of it, you and I still have the wonderful privilege to what? Seek to win people to Christ before it be too late. Are men getting harder in our day? It seems to be. Are they getting to the point that it's talking about in the book of the Revelation? It seems to be. But thank God there are still people that are open to the gospel and will get saved. We've seen it in our church. We've heard of it from our missionaries. We know it from other churches and Christians that are able to reach others for Christ. And we must reach them before it be too late. What do we notice? Mankind just gets harder and harder. And so we need to try to reach them before they get hardened to the spot they will not listen. By the way, one reason children's ministries are so important, that we might reach them as they're young and their minds and their hearts are still open to the things of God. Amen. By the way, pray for some of our bus kids. We see some of these kids who are so hardened already. Have a little conscience when it comes to what they do wrong. Have little regard for other individuals. And they're reachable. But just pray that God open their hearts. Amen.